Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody. Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like the Dapper Don, giving them all on, dress like a million bucks, buying things in his cups. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, everybody out there listening to me. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey. Put your hands
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only Steve Harvey got a radio show. I need everybody today, everybody that's listening, I need you to catch fire today. I want you to catch fire today. You want to phrase it another way? I want you to catch on fire today. But I need you to catch fire today. I need today to be the day that you stop complaining and you do something. Do you know why a lot of people can't move forward in their life? Because they complaining about their past. They always complaining, man, about something is that explains the reason why they are. Let me help you with this right here. If you are steady complaining about the reason you are, you know, if I hadn't have met this man, if I hadn't have been involved with this woman, if I hadn't have had this baby, if I had never went down there, if I hadn't have got arrested, if I hadn't have this, if I hadn't have that, if I had just finished school, if I hadn't have, hey, stop, stop. All that stuff that you're complaining about, everything that you keep allowing to resonate with you as a reason to justify and explain you not being successful, can I share something with you about all of that? Guess what it is? You done got past all of it. You done had the baby. You got arrested. They didn't kill you. You didn't finish school, but you're still standing. You met that man, he gone, he involved with two other women right now, got three other kids. Guess what? You still here, and the baby's here. You got over all the injustices that were done to you. You got something happened to you when you was a kid. You're an adult now. Somebody did something to you when you was a little boy. Guess what? You a man now. Some things happened to you that you haven't found closure on. The person that you're looking for closure from has moved on. Can I tell you that everything that has happened to you, do you know you've gotten past it? So why are you steady complaining about what has happened to you that has caused you to be in this position, but do you understand that it's prohibiting you from moving forward? Stop complaining today. Catch fire. Let your past be your past. I've told this to you 100 times on this radio, but I'm going to say it again. Bishop Jakes told me something, man, that helped me so greatly. You can't drive your car if you gonna keep looking in the rearview mirror. That's why the windshield is huge. The windshield is huge. The rearview mirror is this tiny thing that sits up there. Now, all it's for is so you can see stuff that's coming up on you. all the rearview mirror for is so you can assure yourself, listen to this. The rearview mirror is up there to assure you that you've cleared something. See, that's what the rearview mirror is for. So when you pass a car and you want to switch lanes, you can glance up there and it says, okay, you're clear now. You passed it. You can switch lanes. That's all the rearview mirror is for. It ain't for you to stare at and dictate your life with. What you tripping for, man? Catch fire today. Today, man. Quit complaining about everything that didn't happen to you. Life is 10%. What happens to you is 90% what you do about what happens to you. What are you going to do about it? So what? I got all this. Look, man, your story ain't no deeper than nobody else's. I can tell you I was homeless for 3 years. It's people been homeless for 30 years. How long I'm gonna ride that out? Well, you know, I can't do nothing right now. I fell on hard times and I lost my place to stay. Where you staying now? See, the majority of people are staying somewhere right now. I was out there. I didn't have nowhere to go. I'm in a shelter now. You was under the bridge a week ago. You in the shelter now. Why you still crying about the bridge? You in the shelter now. Man. People, man, we trip ourselves out by complaining. I'm asking everybody today to catch fire today. Stop complaining. Do something today. Get excited. Now, I'm going to say something that I'm going to have to explain. Get excited about your life. You know the best way to get excited about your life is to find your purpose in your life. Uh-oh, Steve, got to explain that one, don't you? Yep, I knew it before I said it. As soon as I said it, I said I'm going to have to explain this right here because people always be talking about, you say stuff and you don't mean it. See, what I do is when I say something, I give you the explanation for it so you can stop all this. I ain't know. Listen to me. You got to get excited about your life, and the best way to get excited about your life is to find your purpose. Now, okay, Steve, that's what I've been struggling with. I can't find my purpose. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You know how you find your purpose. You get in touch with who created you. Because when God made you, he had a purpose in mind. Now, we've ignored it, and we haven't tapped into it, but we all had a purpose. You don't, and sometimes it takes people longer to discover the purpose. Colonel Sanders was frying chicken with a recipe that he was telling people was the best chicken in the world. Ain't nobody believe him till he turned 70. Why you think the dude that's on the Kentucky Fried Chicken signs is old? That dude ain't 20 up there. He old. He old. But you know what? He had been frying that chicken for 40-some years. They just found out about it when he was 70. But he didn't give up his purpose in life. This dude was just frying chicken. See, people keep looking for their gifts in all kinds of places when it's right there in you. You ain't got to go to school to find your gift. You're born with the gift that God got for you. You go to school to tack it on to something else. But your gift was already given to you. You were born with that. You don't have to go to college to know your gift. Your college allows you to enhance it and to find something to attach it to. And hopefully you get a degree that attaches your gift to a vehicle where it can work. The problem with college is we go to college and we attach it to what we like or what we might be passionate about, and we ignore the gift we have. You know how many people that graduated from college ain't doing nothing they went to college for? Come on, man. You know why? Because you discover in life your gift. You discover what you was born to do. I wasn't born. You know what my major was in college? It was advertising. I can't be at no desk drawing no picture for nobody. But now guess what? I can wake up every day and guess what? I can tell you. I've been advertising my career. Come see me live. Come see me live at Madison Square Garden. Come see me live at Phillips Arena. Come see me live at Joker's Comedy Club. Come see me live at Percy's. Come see me live at Ellis's Tavern. Come see me live. I've been advertising the whole time. But I had a different purpose in mind because I went and I talked to God. And this is how you do it. You go talk to God and say, hey, God, look, okay, this is the deal. I've been struggling here. I'm over 40. I still haven't found my purpose in life. Okay, but so I can quit wasting any more time. Would you help direct me and guide me to my purpose? I know you created me to do something. I just haven't found what it is. And the reason I haven't found what it is, because I've been doing things my way. I ain't been checking with you, conferring with you on anything. I ain't locked in or tried to settle it up with you. I've been just doing my thing. Well, my thing has gotten me as far as it can get me. How about you take over and do your thing? Now, can you direct me in my path? I'm an open book. Treat me like a piece of clay. I'm telling you, man, if you go to God, he'll give it to you. But see, you have not because you ask not. How many times have you asked God for it? This ain't no magic trick, y'all. This is the deal. You got to catch fire today. Catch fire today. I am. I'm excited about today. I've got a lot to do. Got to go out here and see what God got for me today. I'm shaking the bushes, man. If God passing out blessings, I'm in line. I am in line.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Good morning, everybody. Man, I hope you listen. I want you to have a wonderful day. I want you to take this day that God has given us all, the blessing of life, and I want you to embrace it. Whatever's wrong, just know that it's going to be all right. Whatever you're going through, know this. God is working on your behalf in the background to straighten some stuff out where you ain't going to have it as a problem no more. You just got to be patient sometimes. You just got to be patient. I'm in the middle of that right now. I'm just being patient. I know that he's coming. He's going to rescue me. I didn't win the billion. You know, I really wanted that.
That was 2 days ago.
I'm still struggling
okay.
with it, trying to figure out if I'm related to this woman down in South Carolina. Okay. Trying to work it out. I got private eyes on it. I'm finna take DNAAncestry.com. Shirley Strawberry.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How you doing?
Yeah, Carla Farrell.
Good morning, Steve. Hey, crew.
What's up, Pimp Junior?
Unc, what is going on, man?
Yeah, ain't nothing. Tommy ain't here today either, huh?
He's a star, Steve, and he has asked you to call him Thomas Miles. What is really going on, like you said, Junior?
I think this stardom is too much for him.
You think for his little body?
Yeah, I think his little head just exploded. Hey. But, you know, like, do y'all think, man, that I might have to sit with him because I think this stardom is... It might be too much for him.
Well, Steve, yeah, and when you talk to him, he starts crying. So
yeah, that's the other thing.
Yeah, there's got to be some sort of happy medium here.
Let me tell you something. If he gets six shows, he's going to have to leave radio.
He's going to have to leave everything.
When you talk to him, he starts crying, and when he works, he doesn't come to the radio show.
It'd be shoulder shaking crying, too. Sniffling
and,
going
and this,
around.
Whimpering.
And the Lord, he like to be thanked, but not that many times in a minute.
Man.
He be overthinking.
Yeah, he going, hey, Tommy, I'm doing some other things.
All right, Thomas Miles.
You're crying about this show. What about I woke you up this morning?
Yeah.
Man. That's good, Uncle, man. You supporting him and everything.
I am, man. I'm really supporting him. I'm a little concerned, though. I really, really am.
Now? About what now?
Because I think the stardom is too much, Shirley. I kid you not. I've seen it before.
Oh.
I've seen people that don't handle stardom well.
Where it goes to their head, you mean? Their head gets really big?
Well, that was going to happen. You know, he started with Thomas Miles. But it's just it's overtaking him. He can't handle it. Mm. Did you see them pictures he sent out, what he thought he should wear on the premiere night?
Yeah, who you asking that?
Man, you got to be kidding me. If you wear that, boy.
I was done when he called Oprah last night. Oh. And I was talking to O. Uh-huh. And I was, and he changed the way he's talking now. You notice that too, right?
You know, I was with O.
I was with O. But we're happy for you, nephew. We're just kidding. We're happy for you. All right, listen.
I'm serious.
Coming up at 32 after the hour, what a day yesterday, Lord. Bomb threat sent to CNN, the Clintons, the Obamas, Representative Maxine Waters, and VP Joe Biden, and others in an act of terror. We will talk about it right after this at 32 after.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
President Trump spoke about yesterday's multiple pipe bombs sent to the homes or offices of the Obamas, the Clintons, Representative Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Attorney General Eric Holder, billionaire George Soros, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and CNN, and Vice President Joe Biden. The president and the First Lady Melania Trump both spoke about the issue at an event about opioid addiction. Take a listen to this.
The full weight of our government is being deployed to conduct this investigation and bring those responsible for these despicable acts to justice. We will spare no resources or expense in this effort. And I just want to tell you that in these times, we have to unify. We have to come together and send one very clear, strong, unmistakable message that acts or threats of political violence of any kind have no place in the United States of America.
Yeah, you know. You know, I heard him reading it. I mean, it's okay, let me just say this. It's good that he said that. It is good that he said that. You know, I really appreciated his daughter, Ivanka, earlier. Her statement was a lot more concise, quick to judgment. I didn't hear what Melania said, but Ivanka delivered a quick message. And, you know, when the president was talking, I did hear him say the bombs that were sent to current and former political figures.
Oh, high-ranking government officials.
Yeah. And so, you know, I was just
the
listening.
Former presidents, you mean?
Yeah, you know, man, you could go on and say who it is, partner. But, you know, I didn't want to nitpick that. I'll let other people do that. But I tell you one thing about this incident. I can't imagine a guy, a group, or anybody getting away with this. There is too much forensic science and capabilities for an atrocious act like this. And they sent it to too many people. There was a mistake made somewhere. And when they want to find you, they can find you. And I got a feeling they're going to find these people because they sent them to too many people.
Yeah.
And with technology and scanning and all of that, and people with cameras of people bringing packages in, oh, no, boy, they scouring.
We have to say, you know, thank God, thank goodness for the Secret Service and the people that, you know, scan these packages because nobody was hurt. Thank God. Nobody was hurt.
And, you know, you got to be really concerned about people who work in these offices of these political figures because they're in this too. I mean, it's the receptionist, the security guards, the mail room people, the cafeteria
security,
workers. I mean, everybody. Mm-hmm. And
especially at CNN, Steve, at a big company.
Yeah, man.
You know, like that.
Right. And when you got like a, you know, the president has to be concerned about this because, see, once a person feel like they can get away with this, then the copycats come.
Yeah.
And, you know, then somebody who's ignorant gonna be talking about, okay, this was an attack on the Democrats, we gonna do an attack on the Republicans. Hey man, it's dangerous to let something like this exist. That's why I think that they are going to throw the full weight behind it and apprehend these people. And let me tell you something, man, you can't get away with this.
Oh no.
Bruh.
No.
It's too much technology. Man. They going to scan these packages. They going to take these packages apart. They going to be looking at bomb parts. They going to trace back materials used. They going to find stores. They going to start asking questions, partner, and they going to start rounding up some people.
I think the first one they're going to start at is at CNN because a courier dropped that off.
Yeah.
Where you get it from?
Right.
Where you get it from?
A courier dropped. Now, the courier could be innocent.
Yeah, he could be innocent, but they're going to ask him who gave it
to him. Oh, partner. Oh, they done already done that. Junior. You can believe they done that.
Oh, yeah.
See, right now, they know the state it came from. I promise you. Yeah. They not messing around.
No, not something like this.
Yeah.
Oh, no, man. They know the state it come from. Now they're going to start looking at mail centers and start looking at post offices.
Yeah.
And they're going to start looking at stamps that come from a certain board. Let me tell you something.
And what
they're going to be knocking on some doors by Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. The evidence is there.
You know what I love about our FBI?
Yeah.
They love to talk. They talk all day. They ain't got nothing else to do but talk. Tell me what you know.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go over there.
And let me tell you something else about them. They pretty damn smart, partner.
Man.
Tell that to the president.
Yeah, well, yeah, he didn't like him a while back.
Right.
And it's some people over there, man, that do their job. And when you commit an act like this, right, it's an act of terrorism.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. A bomb? Yeah. A pipe bomb? Absolutely, Steve.
The mayor of, the governor of New York called it American terrorism. He called it political terrorism, and he called it red and blue terrorism. I mean, I don't even want to think about that, you know?
This is
the political parties going after each other with bombs. You know, that's, I don't even want to think about that. The country is so divided, though. You know, it's just divided. And it points to one person, our leader, who's supposed to be the leader.
Starts
of
at the top.
Everyone.
Yeah. You know, look, I don't blame him for this because you can't. His rhetoric that he's talked about, throw him out, punch him, beat him up. If you get done, I'll pay you legal fees. That rhetoric coming from the top gets people to thinking. And I'm not saying this is his fault. But man,
it doesn't help.
Yeah,
no, it doesn't help at all.
And what he
when you look at the people that were targeted, all these are people he singled out.
Yeah, and they're all Democrats.
Yeah, and they're all Democrats. Yeah. That's right.
But and look at what he can do. He can bring the country together. You know, he doesn't have to divide it. Well, anyway, all right. Now the FBI is warning the public to remain vigilant, watchful, alert, and all that after these bombs and suspicious packages were intercepted. Okay, so just be on alert, everyone, the whole country. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Be smart.
Please.
All right, coming up, the nephew's still out, but we're going to run that prank back right after this.
Why is he still out?
You his boss, you tell us.
I ain't talk with him.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up in 20 minutes after the next hour, Bakari Sellers, CNN political commentator. Bakari Sellers, we love him. He's going to be our special guest to talk about the midterm elections and why this president can't seem to unify the country. We were just talking about this. Plus, at the top of the hour in entertainment news, Puffy funds a new charter school with our good friend, Dr. Steve Perry. Right now, it's time for Run That Prank Back. Junior's in for the nephew. What you got, Junior?
Hey, Junior.
What's up, Up?
Before you introduce the prank, I just want to say, I want y'all to pray for my nephew.
Okay.
Because I think this stardom, I just think it's a lot on him.
Like, it's just
really,
because he's
it's
little.
It's just one
or...
show that just aired. It's just
But he, you know, he crying about it every day.
Yeah, every day.
You know, every day.
Every time you talk to him, he cries.
No,
he
can't come to work.
You can't do a closing remark.
Man, he done just fell apart.
Yeah, he's been just the second day he's been out, right? Yeah.
No, seriously, man, and I don't know. I'm serious, man. I think that this is too much weight for him.
I think, Steve, because you have so much experience in this, I think you still need to just keep him close to you and keep talking to him.
I can't keep him close. I don't know where he at.
You can't keep him close because you don't know where he at.
Let's get to the prank.
All right, here it is, everybody. NBA party. Run it, Cat.
Hello?
Hello? I'm looking for Brad.
Yeah.
Hey, Brad, how you doing? This Poncho, man. I'm one of Marcus's boys. How you doing, man?
Oh, yeah. Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, I talked to Marcus, man. He was telling me about, you know, the playoff party, man, for Sunday, man. So he told me if it was cool, I would come through, man. I just wanted to call and holler at you, see if I need to bring anything, food or some drinks or whatever, you know?
You friends with Marcus?
Yeah. This is Poncho, man. I'm friends with Marcus.
Okay, I think it's cool. Yeah, well, no, you don't need to bring nothing unless, of course, you know, you're drinking something special. But, it's just going to be me, Marcus, and, you know, a couple other boys going to be here. And, you know, whatever you want to bring, it's BYOB. So, yeah, that's cool.
Okay. What time y'all starting, man? He told me, like, around 1?
Yeah. I'm going to be here all day. But, you know, come on through about 1, 2 o'clock, you know, just before the game gets started. We'll have got the flat screen going. Everything's going to be laid out. So, just come on through whenever you come through.
All right. Just remember, man, Poncho, all right? I'll be there.
All right, so got it.
All right, cool.
All right, peace. Hello?
Hey, Brad?
Yo.
Hey, Poncho again, man. Listen, real quick, how much food and liquor do you have?
I think we got enough for Sunday. What you got going on? What's up?
Yeah. I got like three boys going to ride with me, man. I just want to make sure you got enough over there.
Okay, who is this again?
This Poncho. You know, we talked about 30 minutes ago. This Poncho. Marcus' friend.
Right. Right, okay.
Right. I remember I called you about 30 minutes ago, told you Marcus told me it was
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, 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 that's right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Phone been ringing back and forth. Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it's all right, but, you know, we ain't trying to overload the joint, man. Just, you know, I know Marcus, and if you're a friend of his, then that's cool. You can come through.
Yeah, it ain't but three guys, man. It ain't but three guys coming with me, man. They real cool, man. We'll bring something to put on your pit or whatever, you know? It'll be good.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool, man. But you know, yeah. Come on through, man.
All right. I talk to you. All right, Brett.
Wait, is one of them Marcus?
Is one of the guys Marcus?
Yeah.
No. I got it's three guys. Me, I make four. You know,
so about three other guys. Yeah, whatever, man. That's cool. Yeah, bring them through, man. Come on. It's fine.
All right.
Later. Hello.
Hey, Brad, Poncho again, man. Listen, hey, I'm gonna bring one more person with me,
wait,
dog.
Hold, pump your brakes, player. Wait, hold up, hold the up. Now,
what's up?
You Marcus's friend?
Yeah. Me and my Poncho.
Yeah, okay, I know you Poncho, man, but you bringing everybody but the Cisco kid up and Marcus is cool with me. That's my boy. We go way back, and if you cool with him too, then okay, you can come. You know, I'm trying to have an NBA playoff game. You bringing the whole NBA with you.
No. It ain't like that, man.
Man, I mean, the place ain't that big. You know, my wife is going to be coming through here. And, you know, I got the house laid out. I told her I wouldn't destroy the place. I just got out the doghouse like 2 weeks ago. I ain't trying to that up. So, if you're coming through, you come through. You know, bring one or two people with you. But that's it.
Okay. All right. But listen, hear what I decided, man. I ain't going to bring them dudes with me. I'm just going to bring a little lady friend with me, man. If that's cool, I'm just going to bring a little lady friend.
No dudes. Okay, that's cool. Now you're talking. Okay, because I know she ain't going to eat up a bunch of. So come on through here with her and, you know, be done with it. That's fine.
Right. I'm going to call Simone now and tell her that she coming with me, okay?
What's her name?
Her name's Simone.
That's funny. That's my wife's name.
Oh, okay. But maybe they'll hook up while we watching the game. That'll be cool.
She ain't gonna be here, so I'll send her and her girls for the nails done.
Okay. So check this out, man. I'm gonna reach out to Simone and let her know that we're gonna leave her and get over there like about one. And you say it's cool, right?
Yeah, it's cool, man. That's a whole lot better than bringing a bunch of up in here. But
okay, bet. Yeah. Now check this, man. Mine, you know, my friend, she married, you know, and she wanted to get away from my husband for a minute, man. I guess they've been going through, so, you know, just keep
that
on.
Hold on, back up. You bring in a married woman named Simone. What are the odds of that? My wife's name is Simone.
Okay, well, no, I mean, what was this one? Simone is her last name is.
That's my last name.
Wait. Hold on, dog. This Simone is light skinned.
Yeah, you keep on describing her. She's light skinned, 5'1", short hair, got the alley cut.
Yeah, that's.
How long you been with my wife?
Hey, dog. Me and Simone been friends for a minute, man. It wasn't until like a couple weeks ago she reached out to me and said she was going through some. Oh.
She reached out to you to tell you that she's going through some stuff with a dude. Well, I'm that dude.
Okay.
How long you been seeing my wife?
Hey, man, you know, about a year, but who counting? You know what I'm saying?
A year. That's about the time we started having some issues. Yeah. Y'all come on over to this party.
Hey, man, I'm sure we can try to figure this kind of situation out.
No. Pump your brakes. You're my wife.
I don't give a about you.
I don't give a about her either. You know what? I've always believed this. There are no mistakes up in this. Everything happens the way it's supposed to be, so it's funny how you call me.
Okay, listen, man. Listen.
How do you get this number?
My boy gave me.
No, it's no question. You get this number. You probably called me directly from her. That's how you got this number.
My boy gave me this. Leave Simone out of this, man.
No, you can't tell me right now. You know, I'm about to get up this phone with you right now. I'm going to call her. Matter of fact, I ain't going to call her at all. Don't tell her. You my wife? Just bring her to the party. I got a guest list for your. I got a 380, I got a Smith, I got a Wesson, I got a size 14 Timberland to go right up your so you just come on over to this party.
Okay, hey man, listen. My boy gave me your number, man.
I don't know who my boy is. Marcus said he don't know you.
Marcus don't know me, but guess who else knows me though that you don't know?
Well, say something.
Hey, Brad. This is Nephew Tommy, man, from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your boy Marcus got me to prank phone call you.
What? I don't give a... This is some... I'm going to get all y'all in here.
Hey, Brad, what was you going to do with the party, man?
Look at here, man. It was about to be a can of whoop in this...
Hey, man, let me ask you something. What's the baddest radio show in the land?
It's the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, there it is. I ain't here. I can't handle this stardom. But I got a prank for your NBA party. Lord, there's too much pressure.
All right, we got to go. Thank you, Junior. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll have some entertainment news for you right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up in 20 minutes after the hour, our special guest will be politician, political pundit, and attorney Bakari Sellers from CNN. He's going to talk about the tension for this upcoming midterm elections. All right, so you don't want to miss that. Also in entertainment news, Puffy once said it doesn't matter if he writes rhymes because he writes checks. And that's just what Diddy did this week when he made a major investment in a new school. Puffy's going to launch the third Capital Preparatory School next year. It'll be in the Bronx, New York. He's already successfully launched one prep school in Harlem. That was back in 2016. Puffy has $1 million riding on the charter school effort. He's partnered with our good friend, your good friend, too, Steve, yours especially, Dr. Steve Perry, who's a great educator.
I just think that's so incredible of Diddy, man.
Yeah.
Puffy, man. That's so, you know, I've had him on my show with some of the kids from these charter schools, and it's some incredible stories, man.
Mm-hmm.
And Puffy loved them kids, man.
Yeah.
And Puffy, he done put a lot of money into these schools. A lot of money, man. And he's partnered with one of my good friends, Dr. Steve Perry, man, who's at the mentoring camp every year.
Every year.
Yes, he is.
Always writes me encouragement, man, when he see I'm under attack. He's just a solid guy. He's got a curriculum that works. At his prep academies, do you know it's a 100% graduation rate and a 100% of the kids attend college?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you hear 100%?
That is awesome.
Nobody's left behind.
He's one of those educators that just go beyond the call of duty. He just really is. He really cares about those kids.
Yeah, man.
He does.
We need more educators and leaders like him, man. He's taking care of the future.
And, man, once again, to Puffy, man, I mean, you just got to take your hat off to this dude, man. He is making a huge difference in these kids' lives with these schools, man.
Yeah.
Huge difference.
Take that, take that.
Bad
boy.
All right, other entertainment news. Talk about relationship goals. Check this out, guys. Going on tour this year paid off big for Jay-Z and Beyonce. The Carters earned a whopping $250 million in tour revenues. They got some of all of our money this year, I think. We all went to see the tour. You know, with the On the Run 2 tour, Billboard Box Score broke down the numbers behind the big payday, which was earned across 48 stadium dates, back-to-back gigs in London, brought in $11 million alone with 125,000 tickets sold. There you go.
Carters.
Go
ahead.
The Carters.
Ooh,
40 cities.
48,
48, 108. I'll do 48 cities.
Excuse me?
For go way less than that.
Yeah, you're going... You're going to hit the stage again? Is that what we're hearing?
If I could do 48 cities for $258 million?
Do we need a drum roll here? Is there something
you
want to
no
tell us?
You need no drum roll. Hey, you ain't got to drum nothing. If I thought I could sell limited tickets, I'm giving a damn about TV no more. I promise you, because I ain't going to be on TV no damn way. That's the stuff I'm going to say.
What you about to sell this tour?
Man,
they ain't gonna let
you
back
on. I got to sell this damn tour because they not going to put me back on right after. About the third date, they're going to be about had enough of my ass.
The third out of 48?
Yeah, about the third date, that's when I get took off TV.
You know it.
I already know. And it'll probably be in Detroit somewhere. At the Pontiac Silverdome where I just wreck it.
All right, Steve, we got to get to these headlines, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Ann Tripp.
Thank you, everybody. This is Ann Tripp. An intense investigation and manhunt underway into who constructed and sent pipe bombs to several prominent Democrats and the CNN television network this week. With only a couple of weeks before the all-important midterm elections, suspicious devices were mailed first to the home of billionaire and liberal philanthropist George Soros, and then to the homes of Bill and Hillary Clinton, former President Barack Obama, to former Democratic National Committee Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz in Florida. Two packages were sent to California Congresswoman Maxine Waters, a frequent target of President Trump, who's ridiculed him right back, and to CNN's New York City headquarters, also to former Vice President Joe Biden. And now early this morning, an explosive device was found outside Robert De Niro's Manhattan restaurant. So now, President Trump is promising to spare no expense in finding all those responsible.
In these times, we have to unify. We have to come together and send one very clear, strong, unmistakable message that acts or threats of political violence of any kind have no place in the United States of America.
Well, luckily nobody's been hurt, but House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi and Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer have issued a joint statement pointing the finger squarely at the president for all this ugliness, saying that, quote, time and time again, the president has condoned physical violence and divided Americans with his words and his actions. And the president of CNN Worldwide, Jeff Zucker, he accuses the Trump administration of demonizing journalists. He tweets that, quote, the president and especially the White House press secretary should understand that their words matter. Thus far, they have shown no comprehension of that. By the way, the search again for the culprit or culprits continues. CIA Director Gina Haspel has reportedly heard the audio tape of Washington Post reporter Jamal Khashoggi, his torture and his murder while in Turkey this week. She's to brief the president on that later on today. A jury has found three people, an executive of the sportswear company Adidas, a basketball consultant, aspiring sports agent, all guilty of charges in what prosecutors say was a scheme to secretly pay the father of a hot basketball prospect to attend the University of Louisville. You know you're not supposed to do that stuff. Early voting began in several states this week. Early balloting has now begun in Alaska, Arkansas, Idaho, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and Texas. It begins today in Maryland, and tomorrow it begins in District of Columbia. So that's early voting. And finally, today is National Greasy Foods Day.
How much for order our ribs?
$2.50.
$2.50? Okay, let me get one.
One order of ribs.
No. One rib.
Make that one rib to go.
One rib?
One rib.
That's it. Here's up, Steve Harvey Nation. All you need is one rib. Well, you know, that's because you took a rib. We took the, never mind. Let's not get biblical. Find out if Uncle Steve is smarter than his nephew. You'll find that up 20 minutes after the hour on the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Everybody, I told you we were going to have a special guest this morning. He's one of the youngest state representatives and the youngest black elected official in the United States. He is currently a political correspondent for CNN. I invited him on the show because I love him. He's one of my favorite dudes on TV, period. Mm-hmm. His insight, yes, be spot on for us, man. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Mr. Bakari Sellers.
Woohoo!
What's going on, Bakari?
We love him.
Man, thank y'all so much for having me. It's always a blessing when I can be on and be a small kid from a small town called Denmark, South Carolina, and be on the Steve Harvey Show. So thank y'all so much.
Denmark, South Carolina.
Yeah, three stoplights and a blinking light. We got a wee bakery where the Mennonites cook every morning. So come through when you want to.
Boy, you going to, boy, they going to get, boy, they going to name a street after you. They're going to put a school up and everything.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Hey, man, let's go. First of all, you know, you're at CNN. So what's the climate over there? I know there's a big scare for everybody at CNN, but what's going on at CNN? How does it relate to the White House? What all have you heard?
First and foremost is fear, and I think you understand that, Steve. Imagine if you are at work and the people who do your makeup and your hair, the people who are around you and make sure your suits are fresh when you walk out or do your teleprompter. Just imagine if something comes to the studio in Steve Harvey's name, but takes away all their lives.
Wow.
You would feel some sort of way about that. And so for us, it's not about Don Lemon or Anderson Cooper or even Jeff Zucker. It's not about the people who make, you know, $1 million or $2 million a year or have condos in New York City. I mean, it's about everybody who makes those shows work. And so you're invoking fear. I mean, my law office is in Columbia, South Carolina, and we had to yesterday put in a new protocol for mail because I'm a commentator. And wow. So you have a receptionist who has nothing to do with politics at all, but now has apprehension and fear. So, I mean, it's fear. And you look to the president of the United States to reassure you, but you have Donald Trump.
You know, it's hard for me to expect any level of genuine compassion. You know, we were all listening to the speech he gave after Ivanka had issued her statements. And as he was reading, I just went, okay, this is nice, but is that him?
Well, I mean, first of all, I don't have any level of expectation for him. And I think that when we want to go in and have some level of expectation, we're foolhardy. Donald Trump has been the same person his entire life. And pardon me if I get in trouble for saying this, but if you ever expect a white man over 70 years old to change who they are today, then you are fooling yourself. And so I don't expect Donald Trump to change at all. He's shown us who he has been.
Hey guys, hang on. Bakari, hold on 1 second, man. We'll be back, y'all. More with Bakari Sellers right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, everybody, we're back. We're talking with attorney, political analyst, and commentator. He's one of the youngest politicians elected to the Senate. We're talking with Bakari Sellers today.
This is what I want everybody to understand. People want to play a both sides argument. They want to say, well, Democrats are harassing people in restaurants. Well, there's a vast difference between expressing your First Amendment right and sending bombs to people's homes. There's a generation of people who have seen Emmett Till and Medgar Evers. They've seen Martin, Malcolm, and Rosa. But they've also seen RFK and JFK. Mm-hmm. But now we're living through that same thing where we understand how political rhetoric can take away your leaders. And so these bombs aren't going to Devin Nunes' homes. They're going to Maxine Waters. It's not going to Mitt Romney's home. It's going to Hillary Clinton. It's not going to George Bush. It's going to Barack Obama. There's something going on in this country.
Yeah.
And we need to deal with it.
Yeah, man. And I think it just gets clear to me when the person that was elected, not by all of us, but who won the election to govern, uses the platform to separate the very people that he governed. And these attacks on the very people that you mentioned were the very ones targeted by this act of terrorism. And go ahead.
No, I'm thankful that you called it such. Like, a lot of people don't understand that. You called it terrorism. And because you called it terrorism, everybody who's listening to our voice will call it such, because that's what it is, because it invokes fear. And so there are people right now who are doing their job every day at CNN, who are doing their job in Maxine Waters' office in Compton, California, who are doing their jobs just trying to make sure that they can provide for their families, but they're afraid because people are sending pipe bombs to their offices because of their political views. I mean, imagine, just think about where we are as a country.
Yeah.
This form of hatred is being spewed from the top, and it manifests itself in pipe bombs when it get down to them people.
But to only us, Steve, what about the other Republicans? Nobody's saying anything, you know, just because it was Democrats that got targeted?
But, I mean, until, and again, I said this a lot, but until white evangelical Republicans stand up and say enough is enough, then we won't get anywhere. I mean, the onus is on somebody. Man. I mean, we can talk about this all day.
Exactly.
But but we're just talking about issues amongst us Negroes. Until somebody stands up and says, let's fix this problem, it won't be fixed.
That's true.
Man, I'm just so messed up. What you said about white evangelicals. The Republicans, Bakari, and I've been saying this for a week now, a little bit more than a week, really, to tell you the truth. The Republicans were touted as the moral party. The moral party. And they built this morality on abortion rights, immigration laws, gays. You know, gays can't get married. They can't get the same privileges. We got to stop these illegal immigrants. This is the hypocrisy of this that's getting on my nerves. What I've tried to say, because I play golf with old rich Republicans.
And we both do.
Brother, and let me tell you something, man. This is really how they talk and think. So it's nothing new for them, but they're on par for course. So here we go. We get these evangelicals to come along, and they're supposed to be the moral party, and we're against abortion and gay rights and all this here. And the Republicans tout that. Well, excuse me, But they're trying to say that letting these immigrants in here will cost us jobs. The immigrants that come on over here, they don't do the jobs that we want.
They not fight for our jobs.
Pardon. And rich people own these farms that hire these undocumented people and want them to work because they get them for a cheaper labor force and they get more money. And then they turn around and act like Republicans don't get abortions.
Well, let me, Steve, but this is what we have, though. This is the point of our discussion today, because on November 6th, all of those people who look like me and you, who go to these barbershops, who go to these AME churches, I mean, we have a chance to change that. Like, we for a long period of time have forgotten that we have these rights to vote and participate. So this is our right to participate and vote, and we have to do that. That's important to everyone. So we got to play our role. And that's my only point. And then,
hey, Bakari, yeah. hold on right there, man. We're going to come right back. We got more with Bakari Sellers right after this. Don't go away. We're going to get into some more very important issues with this. All right, we'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, we're back, everybody. We're back. We've got our special guest, CNN correspondent and politician, attorney, Bakari Sellers, whose insight has always been so spot on. And we're here today, we're talking about just the condition of our country and politics and the bombing yesterday. So before we left, Bakari, we were on the subject of the climate that's in this country, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the climate is dangerous. I mean, mm-hmm. it's more than yeah. dangerous. Yeah. I mean, so I'm at a different point in my life right now. And so I look at the world different. I'm supposed to have two twins that enter this world in January. Right?
Oh,
or twins.
All right, congratulations. Yeah.
You know, congratulations. I hope they come in December so I can get a tax write-off. I digress.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do, Bakari.
He says, yeah, congratulations.
While we're talking about this. But, I mean, what world do I want them to live in where mm-hmm. their father, just for speaking truth, can get a bomb delivered to their office? I mean, think about that. I mean, we're not talking about right or left. We're not talking about black or white. We're talking about humanity. And there are a lot of people out here who don't give us the benefit of our humanity. And I remind people of that all the time, because what Steve Harvey has shown the rest of us is that if you give us the benefit of our humanity and if you equalize the playing field and give us a dance floor, we can dance better than most.
Come on.
We can run faster than everybody.
Come on, man.
And so, yeah, I just want an opportunity. I don't want a hand out. I just want a hand up. But you can't threaten to kill me because I'm speaking my truth to power, and that's the fear that everyone has. And so that's why, like, November 6th is a big day. And I've lived with that my whole life because of what my dad went through. But November 6th is a big day because we all have that right. Man, I listened to Plies earlier today on Instagram. Plies
no, you
is
did
greatest.
Not. I love it.
Man, you listen to Plies?
Come on, man.
I want y'all to know, Plies is one of the most brilliant.
Deep, right?
Plies is just saying it's harder than most people give him credit for.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right.
So Plies was talking today about voting. And you know, I think that we have to have everyone from Barack Obama to Plies telling us that we need to get out, and everybody needs to get off their high horse and make sure that they spend 30 minutes. Because if y'all purchased a lottery ticket this week and stay in line, then y'all can afford to stand in line to vote.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. right.
Real
hey,
talk.
Man, let me tell you something. If everybody vote that bought a lottery ticket, we can put anybody in office we want.
Mm-hmm. Man.
Man,
I got some names. So I want to put Andrew Gillum in office. I want to put
Florida.
In Florida.
Yeah, and I mean, I want Sean Shaw. What people don't even know is there's a black guy named Sean Shaw running for attorney general. Why is attorney general important? Because they push back on all the laws that come from the Department of Justice and the federal government. They're the people who sign onto those lawsuits. Mm-hmm. I mean, just Mike Espy in Mississippi. Imagine if we can get a black senator from Mississippi.
Yes.
Wow. You know, man, you're so correct. This voting, midterms are always traditionally underserved in voting capacity. It's nowhere near like the four-year election. But it has to be different, man. We can change things. If we don't get a balance in the House and the Senate to stop some of this foolishness, some of this one-sided thinking, man, we are going to suffer for a long, long time, and unnecessarily, because we can change all of this on November 6th.
That's right.
Man, and then we got to give people a reason, too. And so for me, personally, my reason is two little people who aren't here yet.
Wow.
And I'm tired of people making decisions for me. And so I want everybody to understand that there are people who do not look like us, who do not think like us, who do not believe the same things that we believe, who do not even give us the benefit of our humanity, who are making decisions for us. And so if you want to make sure that your grandmother gets health care, that your children get access to first-class education, that your babies actually get prenatal care, that you have insurance, I mean, that you get a minimum wage that you can live on, and you're not working for $7.50 or $8.50 or $9.50, but you can work for $15 an hour, I mean, then you need to actually show up. I mean, that's what it's about.
Yeah, it's so much, man. I've appreciated you so much this year. You know, Kanye was in the news, and man,
nice transition,
bruh. When you were talking,
you didn't even have a segue.
No, I just went on into it because I watch CNN for the news. Then I flip over to Fox, because my father always told me, pay attention to what them other folks is saying, son.
You got to know what they're saying about
you.
Yeah,
man.
So,
because, man, they take every truth. When you watch Fox, Donald Trump can do no wrong. Everything he does is great. And I'm sitting here going, you all have got to know this is non-presidential. But nothing is more important than people in power, than power, position, and money. And they will do and say anything to maintain power, position, and money. But when I turn you on, and Don Lemon and Anderson Cooper and Chris Cuomo.
Yes.
So I can get, man, what we really got to get focused on here. But boy,
well, let me say something about Kanye West, because you brought it up. My whole point is that we're at a point in time where we can't run backwards, where we have to make sure that we are articulate enough, educated enough, well-read enough, and my only point to this is that I don't want anybody out there, anybody who's thinking about growing up and thinking great dreams, to think that anti-intellectualism is cool, because it's not. Because you don't have to have all the degrees in the world, but what you have to do is have this insatiable desire to learn as much as possible. And I want people to understand that's a value added. And Kanye West don't represent that. And those people right now, they want to champion him as being their hero. And it's fun. It's ironic to me because, you know, back when George Bush don't like black people, they didn't want Kanye West.
Oh, yeah.
But today they want him.
Oh, man. And I mean, gave him a full audience inside the Oval Office. Here's the thing that disturbs me the most of anything. When you put this hat on and you say this Make America Again hat, it is like a super cape to you. As a black person, I want to ask everybody, what period of time are you talking about going back to make America great? That was cool for us. See, I was born in the 50s. I'm telling you, it wasn't nothing. I grew up as a child in the 60s. I became a teenager in the 70s. Whoa, wait a minute, man. I don't want to do none of that again. So where we got to go back to get America great again? What you want, the 40s? The 30s? where we going where y'all think America was great? Where you think we want to carry our ass back to?
I tell everybody, I tell all my friends on the right and these new black conservatives that are coming out, all 12 of them, all the new 12 black Republicans.
Like they're lying, huh?
Like, I know, it's like they're lying. They just crossed in the spring. But what I tell them all is that, look, I don't stand on Kanye West's shoulders. I stand on the shoulders of Walter Scott, Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, Eric Garner, Sandra Bland, all these young black men and women who have been killed unarmed at the hands of police. And Kanye West can't articulate how we fix that problem. So I have no need for that or use for that. If Kanye West wants to take a picture with Donald Trump, so be it. But we just need to be honest with ourselves about what it is.
Yeah. If Donald Trump was the father I never had, let me tell you something.
I
can do
that.
This daddy-less. Makai, November 6th is our day. We're trying to get everybody to show up for Gillum down in Florida, for Abrams in Georgia.
Oh, Mike Espy in Mississippi, Mandela Barnes in Minnesota. We need Kirsten Sinema in Arizona. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, but I want everybody to know that our work's not done on the 6th, because I'm going to lean on you, and I'm very grateful for you being not just a platform, but an example, because we don't have a lot of wealth in our communities and we don't know how to get it. But you working hard and showing us how to at least enhance our platforms and grow our platforms, give ourselves a voice, is very valuable. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you to you and your crew.
Man, thank you. Bakari Sellers, you the best, man. Tell everybody over there we say we praying for them. Tell them to be safe and be aware, all right? Thank you, man.
All right, thank you, man.
Love you, boy.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, it's time for today's Strawberry Letter. And if you need advice on relationships, on dating, work, sex, parenting, and more, submit your Strawberry Letter to SteveHarveyFM.com and click Submit Strawberry Letter. Right, Steve?
That's exactly right, Shirley.
Well, that was with a little more enthusiasm. I like that one. I could take that one. Yeah.
Well, superstar ain't here. Huh? He's not. Saying? Superstar's
oh,
not
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to introduce my friend, my girl, Shirley Strawberry, with a strawberry letter until he returns.
Thank you, my friend, Steve. I got to say, you're going to love this letter. It's for you. Subject yeah. from the subject on down, my musty man. Dear Steve and Shirley, I've been with my man for 3 years, and we started living together 7 months ago. I'm a nurse, and he does construction work. I love his work ethic and his commitment to his job and the long hours he puts in. When he comes home from work, he washes his clothes, takes a shower, we eat, and then we go to bed. But here's the problem. Throughout the night, while he's sleeping, he sweats really bad. His pillow is drenched, and the mattress on his side is wet too. And I have to let the bed dry out daily and change our bed linens more often than I should. I can't stand it. So I mentioned to him that he should see a doctor. He said he doesn't want to take time off from work and that it's normal for people to get hot while they're asleep. Most mornings he is up and out before me. I've watched him getting ready for work many mornings and I can't believe how nasty this grown man is. After being drenched in sweat the night before and having an odor, he will brush his teeth, put on clean underwear, and put on clean clothes and head out to work. When I told him how nasty that is, he said that he's a construction worker, so he will get sweaty at work anyway. So it's okay for a grown man to leave the house musty? I am hoping this relationship lasts, but I can't deal with his hygiene. How can I get through to him? Well, I'm going to say this, first of all, musty is not sexy, okay? I'm just going to say that. And also, you know, people say that you don't really know a person until you live with them, okay? But several things here are going on. I do agree with you that it could be something medical. It could. I'll ask you the most obvious questions first, like how's the temperature in the bedroom? Does he wear deodorant to bed? How's the linen? You know, after he takes a shower. How's the linen on your bed? What does he sleep in? What do you guys eat before you go to bed? Because if the food is like really spicy and stuff, this could cause sweating. If the room is too hot, that could be an issue. The bedding might be too heavy. Or if he sleeps in hot PJs, or does he wear deodorant? I mean, these could all be problematic. He's right. People do get hot sometimes while they're asleep. But if it's like you say, and it does sound excessive, I know you're frustrated. But if you really want this relationship to last, you have to calm down. And talk to him in a mature, sensible way about his hygiene. You know, you guys have been together 3 years, and you got to tell him how this affects you and how it could affect your future together. And I'll say it again, musty is not sexy. Steve?
All right, let me just go and deal with this letter with the truth. Shirley, you and this lady tripping.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm sick of y'all. Okay, he sweat. So damn what? The man been at work all day. He come home. He shower. He clean. You ain't tripping. Y'all eat dinner. You left out some stuff. Y'all do some things. Then y'all go to bed. Now my man sweat profusely while he's sleeping. His pillows drenched. His side of the mattress is drenched, and it's causing you to change your linens more often than you want. Okay, your man sweat. So damn what?
Are you offended? Are you offended?
Yeah, I'm defending him. Oh, you ain't gonna like my answer at all. Dude in here, and then he working, coming in here, working, trying to make ends. Now, you'd have told him he need to go to a damn doctor. Now, guess what he told you? He can't take off work, go no doctor about no sweat. Let me tell you what you could do. They got golf shirts that's called Dry Fit Fabrics. You ought to get him some golf shirts and some golf pants to sleep in. All that absorbs sweat while you playing. Well, when you walk through the clubhouse, you still look dry. That's why they call the fabric Dry Fit. Because it don't be stuck to you like cotton.
To adjust your attitude.
No, I'm not adjusting nothing, Shirley. Because you and this woman done got on me and Funky nerves.
His name Funky.
Man,
name,
me
what?
And Funky, just like Funky used to be on the radio.
Yeah.
Not because he had a body odor. I love
no.
Funky. Because Funky was just funky with it.
Uh-huh.
Now he funky with it. Now me and Funky don't like this here. Now he clean before he go to bed. Now, he don't want to go to doctor. Now, you mad. But here what make you really mad. This man gets up, and you can't believe how nasty he is. He brushes his teeth, puts on clean clothes and drawers, and go to work after he been sweating. Wait a minute. He right. He a construction worker. What is he shine for to go dig holes? Carry a wheelbarrow, run a jackhammer. You down there nursing, wiping up stuff, giving people medicine, giving people a little shot in the ass.
What?
That's all you doing at your job. He down here hauling
Wait
stuff.
Wait a minute, she's a nurse.
I don't care what
she's saving
she
saving lives.
Sure. Save them lives. He in there saving lives. He building bridges. Filling potholes on the street. He a construction worker.
So mad though,
I'm defending
dude.
Him because damn it, I was a construction worker.
You were a construction worker too?
Yeah, what? Yeah. My daddy was a construction worker. Both my brother were construction workers. If I hadn't went to college, that's what I was gonna be.
Okay.
Yeah, construction worker.
Strong man.
Yeah.
I worked construction with my daddy 3 summers.
Okay.
Y'all sitting up here talking about he stank. He had work.
She said she titled it My Musty Man.
Yo, musty man been sweating. Then he get up. You want him to shower before he go to work and stink again. What?
Musty.
What? Ain't nobody finna do that.
Twice.
Wait. You mean to tell me I'm finna go out here and run this jackhammer?
Wait, hold on, Steve. Hold that thought. We'll have part
hold
2 of Steve's angry response at 23 sure. after the hour.
I'm funky.
Right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, come on. Let's recap the
strawberry
letter.
No, you recap.
Why are you mad at me? I did not write the letter.
No, subject. You and her mad at him.
I'm not mad at him. I just think they need to have a serious conversation because she doesn't like it.
Musty ain't sexy. What you want?
Musty's not sexy. Okay, that is the subject of the letter, My Musty Man. A lady wrote in. She's been with her man for 3 years. And 7 months ago, they started living together. Everything's fine. He goes to work. He comes home. He's committed. He gets home. He takes a shower, washes his clothes. They eat, go to bed. During bedtime, he sweats like a pig all night. She has to get up in the morning, dry out the bed, the mattress, the pillow, all this stuff. And he has an odor. So what really ticks her off is
that. Wait, where you see that at?
What, that he has an odor?
Uh-huh.
Right here.
She just said he sweat. Show me where it says.
After being drenched in sweat the night before and having an odor.
That's different. That's not working out odor.
You in denial. Are there different degrees of odor now?
That's sleep odor.
Odor is odor.
No,
he ain't been doing active. Oh, no. Active funk is different from relaxing.
Okay, well, it's an odor to her, and she doesn't like it.
Yeah, well, she a nurse. Do something.
Yeah.
Bring a shot home from the clinic tomorrow. Give your man something, some Pedialyte or something. What you think will work?
Pedialyte?
Give his ass, I don't know what to do for
him. Yeah, he might need to be hydrated. He might need to be during the daytime.
But he's sweating. He doing good. He probably got a lot of salt build up in him and everything.
That's why he needs to drink more water. What I'm not finna do is
let y'all bother this brother that's going to work making these ends meet. You're going to mess around and be by your damn self, lady.
Steve.
I like that.
Sitting up in here, you know, ungrateful.
He going to work every day.
Every day, bringing money home. Yeah. He ain't cheating on you or nothing. You going to leave his man because he stink.
He leaves the house musty.
He going to get musty.
Why are you so mad?
I love it.
He going to take a bath before he get home and get in that bed.
As he should.
And there ain't no problem. He do what he supposed to do. And the man don't want to take off to go down to no damn doctor. She a nurse. Research him. Find out what's wrong with your man. Get some medicine out that cabinet. Yeah. Put it in his coffee and get your man back. Send a pig, you're going to leave him. Give him a shot.
Yeah.
But damn what?
Sometimes medicine makes you sweat.
Medicine?
Yeah, sometimes if you take too much medicine, that'll make you sweat.
Well, he already sweating. Well, where the medicine that make you stop sweating?
I think, what is that, Botox?
Botox. You can get
Botox.
Uh-huh. You can get Botox.
Hey, let me explain to you what you do. This what you do.
Well, say it nicely.
No, what?
Because you have an attitude right now.
Every time he get through shower, I want you to get a can of Thompson's Water Seal.
Get
some of them nurse gloves and just pat it on him. Pour it in his towel so when he's drying, he's actually coating himself in Thompson's deck water sealer.
For an outside deck at your house when patio furniture?
Do you want some help or not?
That's what I'm talking about.
I want you to lose your attitude.
I like it.
Now put some water seal up. Bear got some too. Yeah. Home Depot sale. Bear water sealer. You can get some water sealer.
For humans?
No. I don't know nothing about no humans.
All you know is all this stuff stop water flow.
That's right.
What it does. Yeah.
Or you can get rock salt. Rock salt. They make that deodorant at Whole Food that's supposed to be good for you. It's made out of crystals. You rub it on. It don't stop no stink, but it keep you from being wet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rub that on it. And keep your man and your family. But don't call me no more about no man that's working and bringing the money home. Now you mad because he's sweating in the bed at night. At least he there.
Yeah. It's a lot of musty unemployed people running around
here. Hell yeah. Unemployed sitting up there thinking. How about them musty men some of y'all got that's sleeping with other women? How about that? He coming home every night.
Yeah.
Now you a nurse. Now you mad because he won't take a shower in the morning. You ain't finna see him. He going to work being around some other musty-ass men. You don't know who he work with.
Well, it seems like the shower doesn't last through the night.
Well, it ain't got to, Shirley.
This is her issue.
Well, hold up. You was on her side.
Well, no, musty isn't sexy, Steve.
So, well, he ain't going to be musty when he come back home. He shower every day.
He left
Enjoy
musty.
That moment right there. Because he finna get in his bed and get wet.
Yeah.
Now, my question is, are you sure he ain't peeing on this?
That's the next thing we ain't.
That's that a lot of times. You say the mattress is soaked and the pillow.
His pillow is drenched.
You got to make sure this grown-ass man ain't laying up in there just peeing on himself. Because that could be it.
You're stupid.
He wake up every night, I mean, drenched.
Yeah.
That's what, if you pee on yourself, if you farted,
Woo.
He's strong. He laying over there, man. Woo.
She didn't say pee. She said sweat.
Yeah, she said sweat. She said
That's
what
cause
she meant.
She ain't checked it.
She dries the mattress out every
I'll
single day.
I tell you
day.
What, lady,
she would
this
know
how
that.
You test it. You know how you spoon at night with your lover?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want you to get on the inside of him. Mm-hmm. So your backside be up against his front side.
Okay.
Come morning, you'll know if it's pee or not.
Maybe she needs to turn the temperature down.
Turn that damn temperature down. Get that room cold.
Too hot in there.
Make that room like Marjorie got our room.
On ice.
Meat locker.
Yes.
Marjorie's mama room is a meat locker. Man, I go see Marjorie's parents in Memphis. Uh-huh. Pop be sitting up there with a coat on. I be going, damn, dog. I feel you. I got to wear a hoodie around my house half the time.
Yes.
Oh, man.
She in here hot. I don't want to keep saying nothing because then, you know, I said something one time that was kind of crazy. So.
All right. We got to get out of here, Steve. Email
us. I said something about some hot flashes. All hell.
Email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at Steve Harvey FM. Coming up in 10 minutes from the talk, it's our girl, Cheryl Underwood.
Big up to you, Funky.
Stop.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cheryl Underwood.
Steve Harvey, I don't know what I want to talk about. You know why? You know why I don't know what I want to talk about?
Why,
Cheryl?
Because I need to get to South Carolina and find out who got almost $2 billion.
Oh,
because none of us won. Because we at work today.
That's right.
Mega Millions. Mega Millions.
Listen to me. Listen to me. But listen, okay, the moral of the story is, for everybody that stood in line to get a lottery ticket, I need you to stand in line to vote. That's
right.
Where the wealth should come. See how that? See how I put that together?
Yeah.
See,
yeah,
sweet, great. I saw you looking at me like, what was you finna talk about?
Hey, Cheryl.
Yes, darling.
You know what I'm doing for the woman down there in South Carolina?
What you
I've do? Already contacted Ancestry.com and DNA.com. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting everything checked back. Make sure we ain't related some kind of way.
That's right.
Cuz, what's up?
What's up? That's right. Holler at me. You know, I take mine in coins. You know, it can fold or anything. I don't know if I want to be serious, if I want to be funny today. You know why?
Why?
The package is coming through the mail.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty serious.
You see, they tried to send a package to Maxine, Eric Holder, Obama's, Clinton's, with the boy named George Soros, the billionaire, and everything.
Yeah.
First of all, did nobody mention the black postal worker that got to carry the package? Now, do we care about them? Do we care about the people that got to figure it out? Listen, all this rhetoric is going to cause problems right now. And people need to take responsibility for the stuff they say. See how I'm humorous, but I'm poignant at the same time. You got to take responsibility for this stuff. And if they don't take responsibility for this stuff, FBI going to find out who did it. If we got to go find Ephraim Zibilis Jr. from the FBI, old school like a bug right now, we going to find out who did it, who involved, make a pipe bomb. Listen to me. We got the Unabomber. We will find the person that did this. But y'all ain't scaring nobody. We done been through this before. Am I right, brothers and sisters?
Absolutely.
Right.
Amen.
We done been through this before. So you're not scaring us. We going to vote. We going to do what we need to do. We going to make America right again. Not make it great. We going to make it right. Because all this shenanigans, they got a fight club of these white racists that's go around and fight people at protest marches. Y'all know about that?
No.
Y'all ain't heard about that?
Okay.
Like a fight club. It's a racist fight club.
Do you know who they are?
Yes, and they got pictures of them, Steve Harvey, and they got their names, too.
Cool.
Go ahead and say it.
I got 8 dudes that I know from Cleveland.
Listen to me.
That can show up at every protest.
That's right.
You bring your ass over there if you want to.
If you want to.
I'm telling you right now, you're not going to believe what's going to happen to you.
What are you from, Steve Harvey?
From St. Clair and Kinsman.
All I need, they 8 names and they sizes. I'm going to take them over to Mr. Albert's. I'm going to get them the best suits that I can find.
You told them 8 brothers that you would get them some gaiters and a suit from Albert's.
That's right.
They'll put a stop to all this.
And let me tell you what I'm going to do, Steve Harvey. And then after they handle their business, I'm going to take them over to Lancers. And then we're going to have a good seafood dinner.
You better be quiet.
And then, Steve Harvey, we're going to go to the Togo. And we're going to, is the Togo still open?
Good,
we're
going
to
go to the Togo. You better shut up, though, because you're finna make me cry.
Listen to me. Don't tell me
Togo
I don't
suite.
Know. Listen to me.
Girl, last time I was in the Togo suite.
I had
on some shoes by Pebbles
that
was hurting my feet so bad.
But you were sharp. You were
girl,
sharp.
Bone
clean
color,
as the border hell.
Mark Strap.
Listen to me. Mark Strap. That's what I'm talking about, Steve. Let me tell you how long I've been pulling men out of Cleveland, Carla Favrells. Let me tell you how long. It used to be the Gund Arena. We would walk them across the parking lot of the Gund Arena and take them in the Residence Inn because they had free breakfast. We had free breakfast.
So okay. Crazy.
And if they enjoyed themselves like the Jacksons, we would get up in the morning, have breakfast, go to Mr. Albers, get us some suits so we could either go to Top of the Flat or Togo. We had to go to one of them two, and then we're in the night at Lassell's with a good cocktail and some. Listen to me. I'm so reminiscent of Cleveland. I love Cleveland. I love all the clips. I've been messing with the Browns when Jim Brown was playing for them. Man, listen, that's how far back I go.
You used to date Jim Brown?
What we supposed to talk about? Man, listen to me. Let me tell you what happened one night, Junior. Rosie Grill. It was Deacon Jones, Rosie Grill.
You need to stop.
Jim Brown and Fred Williamson. We was playing dice.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You didn't say something to Wade.
Ignorant.
What was your thoughts of Jim Brown at the White House?
Jim Brown was sitting there like, what the f*** is you talking about?
I'm gonna kill you.
Jim Brown was sitting in the White House like, don't take my picture. I was not here. Jim Brown say, I'm coming to talk about something serious, and this Negro is insane. I did not come with him. He came with me.
Let me tell you something. Jim Brown with the I American organization.
That's right.
American. You have no idea the lives that man has changed and touched
in the city of
Los Angeles. That's right. It's some gangbangers, man, that will stand up and tell you what this man has done. He up
That's
there
right.
trying to make somebody honor a promise that they made him. That man right there has given so much to the cause of people's lives. I got nothing to say about Jim Brown sitting up there.
And he's still doing it, Steve. And see, a lot of people don't understand that just because he's the guy in the White House is the guy in the White House. That means the game is still the same. We got to keep protesting. Man. We got to keep marching. We got to keep talking. We got to keep voting. So when anybody go, well, why is they talking to him? You got to do this. You got to engage the process that we in. And the next thing we need to talk about, how do we feel about the fact that we've got to come together. And the last thing we need to do, tell all the Democrats, since you need our vote, why are you not buying advertisement on black radio stations and putting ads in black newspapers? You taking us for granted.
Again.
You gonna lose again. You're gonna lose again. You're gonna lose again.
All right, Cheryl, thank you so much. We gotta get out of here. That's so true.
Me and Rosie Grill.
That's real talk.
Deacon Jones.
Thank you.
Deacon Jones.
Coming up at the top of the hour, get ready, Steve. It's Carla's reality update.
Girl.
Right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Junior, come on. Introduce her.
It's that time. Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
It's time for Carla's reality update.
Yeah.
Y'all love it, Junior.
Girl,
thank
let's
you.
Go. Yeah. Let me sit up.
Okay, come on. Sit up straight.
Rub my ass.
All right. So we're going to talk about Married to Medicine. So, Steve, I don't know if you watch this show, but
girl,
everybody...
I watch all of them.
Right off the rip. Like...
Steve, you are so crazy.
Yeah. He let it get a story. Girl, I watch all of them.
Yeah, come on. All right, so everyone found out, all the ladies, they found out that Quad had filed for divorce from her husband, Dr. Greg, on the blogs and social media. So some of the women were like, dang, she couldn't even tell us. We had to read about it. So they were kind of upset. So now, if you recall, at the end of last season, Dr. Greg, he admitted to cheating on his wife at the reunion show with another woman in a hotel room and kind of all that. Yeah. So Quad has had it. She filed for a divorce with her husband. You know how it is, Shirley. She called her mama, her auntie, baby. Mm-hmm. That's where you get your stuff and you move. Mm-hmm. And she got a new place. And
show me a picture of Quad, Shirley.
Okay.
Or Monica.
Okay, we'll get you a picture of Quad. So now the ladies were just really, Shirley, trying to get into... try to understand from Quad, why couldn't you tell us? Why do we have to read about it? Especially Toya. Because Toya and Quad were cool. And so she was like, we're supposed to be friends. And Toya told her husband that, Dr. Eugene, we're supposed to be friends. I don't understand why she didn't tell me about the divorce. Well, Dr. Jackie, she decided to host a slumber party at a hotel in a Buckhead. And
see, they ain't got enough of these hotels.
That was her husband.
Especially her husband. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Dr. Jackie, she's cool. She tried to get all the women together. They had the slumber party so they can support, so Quad can feel supported, and she can talk amongst her girlfriends and just, you know, say what's going on. You know, Dr. Jackie went through her husband cheating last year, and, you know, she forgave her husband, and she's rebuilding her marriage. So she's like, girl, I know what you're going through, so come on, let's do the sleepover, and let's all the ladies talk. Toya and Quad got into it, and the bottom line was, I just think that Toya was hurt. She was just hurt that her friend did not tell her that she was going through a divorce. They broke down. Quad broke down. She cried. And then she apologized for not telling her friend.
Because you know what, Carla? When you go through stuff
Quad
like that.
Quad is an attractive girl.
Yeah, she's beautiful. Yeah, all of them are beautiful.
All those women beautiful.
But when you go through a divorce, it's hard sometimes to talk about it. It's just hard. You know, even with your closest friends, you're still hurting yourself. So, you know, I get it.
I get it, too. I think that Quad, you know, we kind of talked about this before, Shirley, you and I, just Quad is a private person anyway, and so she just didn't want to put it out there. But their point was that we had to read about it.
Right. I understand that, too.
Right.
Yeah, we had to read about it on social media, and we're supposed to be your friends. So the question still, because Toya kind of threw this out.
Well,
saying,
first of all, don't get mad at her. She didn't put it on social media.
Well,
you know, them beat writers sit down there.
The blogs.
Yeah, and they catch anything come through the court system.
Yeah, and I don't know. You're absolutely right, Steve. I don't know if she released the story or they found out about it. So you're absolutely right. It could have been that she did not want it to get out in any way just yet, just announcing it that way. I'm not sure of that part. But it kind of, the question was when Toya was telling her husband, Dr. Eugene, you know, they were kind of talking about it, and then she's trying to look out for her friend, Quad. Toya's trying to look out for her friend. So it's kind of like when you go through a divorce, there's an issue with the friends and what happens with the friendship, because the men are still friends with Dr. Greg. And now these women, some of their wives are like, you know, especially Toya maybe with her husband, Dr. Eugene, don't be friends with him because he hurt my girl.
See, that ain't right.
So that's what I wanted to talk to you guys about with divorce, what happens with
because
the friends. Then,
first of all, if we dudes and we friends, we dudes, you know, if you make a mistake in your marriage, we'll try to help you through it, talk you through it or something. But you our dude. We can't stop being your dude because he made a mistake with his girl.
See, women are different. If she's mad at you, I'm mad at you too.
You too, yeah.
Right. But see, we ain't mad at the dude. We disappointed in him.
Right.
Damn, dog, you messed up the circle, man. Right. Now we can't get together
hang
more.
Out with
damn, dog, you tripping. But we still your guy.
Yeah.
And that's just the truth of it. Men not going to break up like that. We don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, women do.
No. Yeah. And so, Steve, have you been through that?
Yeah.
Have you been through that with, you know, with a divorce? And
dog,
it's like,
I had a
friend
that messed over a really, really good girl.
Uh-huh.
And we all knew each other. And he messed over a good girl.
Uh-huh.
I'm going, damn, dog, what was you thinking about? I don't know, man. I just tripped, Steve.
But you're still friends with him.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still friends with him. He made a mistake. You know, if I get rid of all my friends that made mistakes, I'm not going to have none. Well, hell, if all of my friends had got rid of me when I made a mistake, I wouldn't have none. Oh, but, you know, we now don't get me wrong. We sympathetic to her. Mm-hmm. We wish it hadn't happened. Bro, look, man. Hey, man, you want to try to make it work, man?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell my girl. Just give me something to tell my girl that she could tell your girl.
But I just think initially when it first happens, when it's fresh, it's all the more hurtful, you know, for the female. Yeah. And that's probably where it is. Once it settles out, smooths out, and, you know, a lot of times they do come back together and be friends.
Well,
you know?
I understand how y'all you women, you all do it that way because, like, y'all want to rally around and support her, have a pajama party. Yeah. We're not having a damn pajama party.
Not for him.
At the hotel.
Got my footies on and he's sitting across from me. What happened? What happened,
you can share your emotions.
You got a footies, though.
Come on, Unc. Talk to me, Unc.
Well, hit me up on Lips by Carla and tell me, going if you've been through a divorce, who gets the friends? Who gets custody of the friends? And we'll be back at 20 after the hour. Steve, you okay?
I'm fine. Here.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, listen, guys. According to a new study performed by giftcards.com, dating is making us go broke. Dating is making us go broke, okay?
Really?
And yeah, that's what the survey said. The study.
I tell you what, dating? I tell you what, getting married.
right.
Well, this was a poll, Steve, of over 1,000 people. It was revealed that single people are spending an average of $146 per month on dating.
Oh, hell no. Get out of
here.
Way more than that, isn't it,
Junior? Oh, that number too low.
That's nearly $1,750 a year. Admittedly, people in a relationship only spend slightly less than that at $139 a month. And married people get off the cheapest of all if you can call $130 a month cheap. Really?
If you spending $130 on a date,
that's
your girl
day.
Ain't got no ambition.
No.
She ain't really trying to do much. She ain't got no goals for herself or nothing.
$140 a month.
A month on a date?
Man.
That's just the movies.
Total?
Yeah, total.
For the month?
That's one date if you just go to the movies. No dinner.
Okay, well, I'm just going to have to say this then.
Say it.
If we spending $146 a month on dating, first of all, you need to make sure you got just one girl. Because this 146 is throwing your ass into something.
Yeah, for 30 days.
Yeah, for 30 days. You really going to have to make sure you got one girl.
Now,
secondly, man, you got to really be thinking of something else to do for a living.
Well, let's think of it. Let's get out of our age groups and think of it younger, like millennials. This is probably... Yeah.
And how often do they enough, date? They yeah. may be hey, saying, fair. If you go on two dates in
no,
a
no,
month.
No, hold on, Carl.
Yeah.
What? For the millennial and for me, the movie is the same price. That damn popcorn don't change because yeah. he's 20.
Yeah.
So he has to save up a lot for this date, right?
That's 140 just for two people at the movie.
Yeah, that's just one date. Yeah. That's
but
just
can one I day. Say this, though?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, that is what it is.
Yeah.
Look, you got to spend money when you're dating.
You do?
Yes.
You know, every date can't be a Netflix and chill. This ain't going with everybody.
No, it's not.
Like Junior
come
said,
on, man.
He's not very ambitious.
No.
You got to set your wine and dine money to the side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And get the whining and get the dining.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it ain't got to be that much. Sometimes, man, y'all just, hey, baby, let me pick you up. I'm going to do a little picnic. That's get yourself some chicken.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just go on somewhere and spread a tablecloth out and have a picnic. Man, women would love that. Girl, he threw a picnic. Mm-hmm. We had some chicken set down at the lake. Man, he spread a blanket out. We listened to the waves at night. Girl.
What does the least amount of money you've gone out on a date with?
Do you mind with churches?
Oh, about $5.
$5?
Hell yeah.
You've gone out on a date?
On a date?
Surely.
With $5?
I met a girl one night in a club.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I had like $8. Denny's was across the street from Spats.
Oh, okay.
We went to Denny's. The Grand Slam was $1.99.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Two of them.
I let her eat $1.99. Mm-hmm. I had a grilled cheese sandwich and a whole lot of water. Left that tip down there, man. Bought her a drink, cup of coffee. We sat there about 3 hours talking. Sexy as I want to be, about $5 out there clean.
Okay.
Tip, 75 cents.
Wow. We'll have
it
more of the
done.
Steve Harvey Morning Show. Yeah, right after this. $5.
I took her to Waffle House one time.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Everybody, I told you we were going to have a special guest this morning. He's one of the youngest state representatives and the youngest black elected official in the United States. He is currently a political correspondent for CNN. I invited him on the show because I love him. He's one of my favorite dudes on TV, period. Mm-hmm. His insight be spot on for us, man. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Mr. Bakari Sellers.
Woohoo!
What's going on, Bakari?
We love him.
Man, thank y'all so much for having me. It's always a blessing when I can be on and
be a small kid from a small town called Denmark, South Carolina, and be on the Steve Harvey Show. So thank y'all so much.
Denmark, South Carolina.
Yeah, three stoplights and a blinking light. We got a wee bakery where the Mennonites cook every morning. Come through when you want to.
Boy, you going to, boy, they going to get, boy, they going to name a street after you. You're going to put a school up and everything.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Hey, man, let's go. First of all, you know, you're at CNN. So what's the climate over there? I know it is a big scare for everybody at CNN, but what's going on at CNN? How does it relate to the White House? What all have you heard?
First and foremost, it's fear. And I think you understand that, Steve. Imagine if you are at work and the people who do your makeup and your hair, the people who are around you and make sure your suits are fresh when you walk out or do your teleprompter. Just imagine if something comes to the studio in Steve Harvey's name, but takes away all their lives. Wow. You would feel some sort of way about that. And so for us, it's not about Don Lemon or Anderson Cooper or even Jeff Zucker. It's not about the people who make, you know, $1 million or $2 million a year or have condos in New York City. I mean, it's about everybody who makes those shows work. And so you're invoking fear. I mean, my law office is in Columbia, South Carolina, and we had to yesterday put in a new protocol for mail because I'm a commentator. And so you have a receptionist who has nothing to do with politics at all, but now has apprehension and fear. So, I mean, it's fear. And you look to the president of the United States to reassure you, but you have Donald Trump.
You know, it's hard for me to expect any level of genuine compassion. You know, we were all listening to the speech he gave after Ivanka had issued her statements. And as he was reading, I just went, okay, this is nice, but is that him?
Well, I mean, first of all, I don't have any level of expectation for him. And I think that when we want to go in and have some level of expectation, we're foolhardy. Donald Trump has been the same person his entire life. And pardon me if I get in trouble for saying this, but if you ever expect a white man over 70 years old to change who they are today, then you are fooling yourself. And so I don't expect Donald Trump to change at all. He's shown us who he has been. This is what I want everybody to understand. These bombs aren't going to Devin Nunes' homes. They're going to Maxine Waters. It's not going to Mitt Romney's home. It's going to Hillary Clinton. It's not going to George Bush. It's going to Barack Obama. There's something going on in this country.
Yeah.
And we need to deal with
it. Yeah.
I want everybody to know that our work's not done on the 6th, because I'm going to lean on you, and I'm very grateful for you being not just a platform but an example, because we don't have a lot of wealth in our communities, and we don't know how to get it, but you working hard and showing us how to at least enhance our platforms and grow our platforms and give ourselves a voice is very valuable. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you to you and your crew.
Man, thank you. Bakari Sellers, you the best, man. Tell everybody over there we say we praying for them. Tell them to be safe and be aware, all right? Thank you, man.
All right, thank you, man.
Love you, boy.
All right, Steve is up next with today's closing remarks. That's coming up at 49 after the hour, right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, here we are, last break of the day, and it has been a good day. Maybe your nephew will come back to work tomorrow. We'll see.
I mean, for real.
We'll see. He's taking this superstardom a bit too far now.
I mean, right at that time.
Too soon.
Yeah.
And I can't wait till I get a show. I'm off at least a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Junior, minimum.
First show, minimum.
All right, Steve, take us home with some closing remarks for today.
You know, we had Bakari Sellers on the show earlier today. And I really, really enjoyed his young brother because he articulates the message spot on. You know, whenever he's on with Don Lemon or Chris Cuomo, I always tune in, man, because he's so fearless and spot on. And he speaks the truth. Now, a lot of people don't like the truth if it don't match up with what you think. But the facts are the facts. Now, because the facts ain't what you want to hear, that doesn't make it an untruth. It is amazing to me how people put a spin on it. I don't believe that. Wait a minute. You know, at my show the other day, you know, I always try to say something positive to people when they come on the show. Well, I was on the show the other day, and I got to talking about God, and this lady gave me the thumbs down sign. I said, excuse me, ma'am, did I say something? She said, I don't believe in God. And I said, okay, cool. And I just kept talking. I finished my message up because I didn't even have time to address her. The fact that you don't believe a fact doesn't make it not true, because you told me you don't believe in God and you gave me the thumb down sign when I started talking about God. What effect that got on me? You think because you give God a thumb down sign, it mean it ain't no God? Are you kidding me? It's a fact that there is a God. It's a fact, an undeniable fact that there is a God. Now, because this woman don't want to believe that, that makes it so? No. And that's what it is on the news. Because you call it fake news, don't make it so. They're just all fake news. No, they're not. And Bakari Sellers is one of those people that get on there and say stuff that's factual, because the factual doesn't match up to your agenda. Now it's fake news. That's not true. Let me explain something to you. What Bakari said earlier, he said, we've been telling people to get out and vote. We got to have a reason to vote. Well, I thought about that. Let's have a hood moment together.
Yeah.
Let's have a moment together that's from a place where I'm from. I'm from a bottom area. I stayed down by the lake. I wasn't up on the hill on Monticello and Noble Road. I grew up down there by the lake at the bottom, where they call the mistake on the lake. That's where I grew up at. I could ride my bike to the lake. Let me tell you something about this place I'm from. So it's the hood. So I'm going to tell you something real hood. Here's the reason we need to vote. Because they trying to play us. People, Steve Harvey listening audience, are you listening to me? They trying to play us. They trying to take us out legitimately. They are trying to suppress votes. They are trying to act like we don't matter. They want to make America great again. And I'm trying to ask everybody, what year you talking about making America great that was so great for us? We need to vote on November 6th to say, nah, we need to make America better, not great again, because I can't think of a period of time in the past from this moment that I want to go back to. I want to go forward. I don't want to go back. See, you can't trick me with that. Why would I go back instead of forward? I'm not going back nowhere, make America great. The key word, again. You'd have been better off just saying make America great. Hell, I'd have thought better of it then. But you threw me when you said make America great again, which means that was a period somewhere for you where you thought it was better to be in this country. And I promise you, I can't think of when that period is. I was homeless through the back end of the 80s and early 90s. So make America great again. I don't want to go back to that. Oh, Steve, how about the 70s? Oh, you're talking about the year that they stripped Muhammad Ali of his title because he refused to kill people that didn't do nothing to him? He said, I ain't got nothing against them people. You talking about that? Oh, better yet, we want to go back to the 60s. Oh, you want to go direct when they killed Martin Luther King? Oh, you want to do them 60s? Oh, wait. Not the back end of the 60s, Steve. Let's go to the early 60s. Oh, you mean when Robert Kennedy and JFK was talking about opening up schools to black people and changing laws and creating civil rights laws, and you kill both of them? How about that? Oh, you wouldn't think we want to go back there? I don't. How about the 50s? 50s and 60s, colored water fountains. Man, you know why we need to vote, y'all? Because we ain't letting nobody make America what it used to be. We going to the future, not the past. We're going to vote and put some fresh faces in here and some people who think like we think so we can get a balance in this thing. It's too much right-wing conservative going on, and you need a right wing and a left wing for the eagle to fly, but we got too much right wing, and it's just flying in a circle. And you know the circle is forming around the base that he created. No, I don't want America great again. I want America great, and America can be great when it changes for the better, not when it goes to the past. We need to.
Steve Harvey contest, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit SteveHarveyFM.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.